Welcome to Women Leading the Way radio show, where each time you'll hear from successful women CEOs, executives, and professionals, where we'll discover how they do what they do to be successful in business. We'll be interviewing women who have overcome big challenges, women who have incredible stories of lessons learned in dealing with adversity. We'll even interview women who have started and grown successful organizations, and women who are C-level executives with unique talents and positions. Our goal is to bring successful businesswomen together to share how they're leading the way in business today.
Good afternoon, and welcome to Women Lead Radio, brought to you by Connected Women of Influence. I'm Eileen Gaffin, your host for Reputation and Influence, and we have a much-needed topic today and a great guest. Her topic is how to stay positive and hopeful in hard times. We're going to talk about that. And our leading lady today is Sarita Mabin. She is a professional speaker and author of the book, If You Can't Say Something Nice, What Do You Say? Sarita is a former university dean, and she's made it her mission to motivate others to embrace positivity, even amid the challenges of our times. So great. Good afternoon, Sarita. We're so happy to have you.
Good afternoon, Eileen. It's good to be here.
Wow. And everything that we're dealing with, the challenges of life and uncertainty during COVID-19, I want to know how you're doing.
Well, I have to say, I am feeling a little stir crazy, ready to get out and about.
Definitely. Definitely. We try where we can, right?
That's right. That's right.
So what are you doing, and what are some of the things that we can do to stay positive and hopeful?
Well, you know, one of the things that I have to keep reminding myself is focus on the things that you can control. And, you know, this bigger picture of the epidemic is way beyond our control, but there are little things about our routine and our day-to-day schedules that we can control. So that's probably the biggest thing that I'm doing to stay sane.
Yeah, it gives us some feeling like that there's something that we're responsible, that we can be responsible for, and that things aren't just happening to us.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So you speak around the country and around the world on communication, and some of our listeners are working on, you know, with teams of people and, you know, working with the work continues, but they may be doing it from home. And so what tips can you share on how communication can be helpful to someone who's, you know, having a difficult time, and whether that is with your teammates or, you know, within your own family dynamic, staying at home?
Mm-hmm. You know, one of the things that I've been doing, I have a marketing partner that I work with who's kind of my team member, and I have just scheduled a regular check-in on Mondays, because previously, you know, we were able to communicate regularly about things going on business-wise, kind of organically. But because things have slowed down business-wise, I've had to structure a time so we still stay in communication. And I think the same is true with our family, you know, scheduling some structured time where we reach out to family members and, you know, make sure everybody's doing okay.
I think that sounds really good. It gives you some peace of mind, too, and them.
Yes, and I think, too, is when things are going wrong, if someone on your team is having challenges or there's problems, you know, you hate to find out after the fact because you haven't talked to them in a month or 3 weeks. So the regular communication also helps you proactively head off any potential issues business-wise.
Yeah. So what else can people be doing to help?
Well, you know, I have two other things that I like to do. As my late mother used to say, sometimes you have to laugh to keep from crying. And mm-hmm. and so being able to have a sense of humor is really helpful. And sometimes it's really, you know, there's a lot of gloom and doom and heaviness right now. And so my husband and I have gotten in this habit of watching Hallmark movies. And so they're always so little, sometimes a little too chipper, too chirpy, but we need the positive influence. And then we were obsessed with watching American Idol the whole season because it was such an inspiration, all the various stories. So finding ways to uplift yourself and feed yourself positive rather than all the negative that we're surrounded by, that's something I've been trying to do.
I think a lot of people agree with you. I was reading an article about the Hallmark Channel and Hallmark movies, and they're seeing huge ratings. People just want to feel good and know that the story is going to end in a positive way. And so that helps a lot to find less doom and gloom in what we're taking in, whether it's television, social media, streaming, to keep our spirits up.
And I like the way you put that. I like even in your promotion of today's conversation, I noticed you said keep your spirits up, and I thought that's a great way to put it. One of the other things that I do along those lines to keep my spirit up is try to do some exercise. People say, what do you do when you're not traveling around speaking? And basically, I am at the Y doing a Zumba class, and I do Zumba. I attend Zumba. I don't teach it. I attend it 4 days a week. So of course, immediately on lockdown, that was my main number one hobby. So suddenly I had to figure out what to do. So fortunately, one of the instructors broadcasts her classes on YouTube. And so I'm able to do them from my home. And then also I have an elliptical. We have a little workout area. My husband has his total gym. I've got the elliptical. So I've actually had to dust that little area off and use that as a 4 day a week routine so that my spirits stay up, because the endorphins are good for the keeping the spirits up, but B, so I don't fall on my face when we come out of lockdown. When I go to my first class after lockdown, I don't want to be stumbling and out of shape.
And
so,
starting over.
Yeah, so
right.
Yeah, exactly. But I think some sort of physical activity, even if you don't go outside, finding something you can do inside. I even bought a step from Amazon so I could do some little step classes, and know an instructor that has those on YouTube. So yeah, that's something physical, even if it's just walk around the block in your neighborhood, that's important. Something about the serotonin that's released when you work out, the endorphins. As I always say, I'm hopped up on endorphins when I come from my workout. I can take on the world in that hour after the workout.
And then back
I can solve world peace. Yeah, right. That's right. So an hour after that workout, I'm like, I'm dangerous. And so there's something to be said for feeding ourselves that positive positivity on a physical level.
You know, you are an expert in communication, and how are you finding it and your clients finding it with Zoom and these Zoom meetings or you know, any kind of online interactions? Has communication changed? Are there things that have gotten better or worse? What's your take on the way we're living now?
Well, you know, I hate to use the overused term, the new normal, because I think if I hear that term again, I may scream. But it really does feel like there's this new normal where people are all communicating virtually. I actually was on a call, but I was a speaker for a large organization this morning at 6 a.m. doing a presentation, and there were about 1,500 people from all over the world on the Zoom call. And this group I was speaking to is a multi-level marketing company where they would do home parties and go to people's homes. And they were, I was astounded that they said they immediately pivoted and start doing Zoom parties and Zoom and Facebook Live parties. And they actually are having higher sales than when they were doing the home parties. And so it's what I've been fascinated by is how many things can be done virtually. That being one example, that a whole sales force of thousands could exceed their sales goals, even doing the sales virtually and having gatherings virtually. And so that's been, even church, you know, my husband and I are attending church in our kitchen on Facebook Live. So it's just fascinating how people are communicating. And I've been kind of binge watching webinars on all the clever and creative ways that we can use Zoom. And it's fascinating how we can still get the communication channels, keep them open even virtually.
Yeah. And then, of course, there's the stories of people behaving badly, you know, whether they forget that they're on camera and they're just doing all kinds of, you know, things or saying things that they shouldn't be, and remembering to dress appropriately. And
oh, well, you know, and there's endless memes and amusing things on social media about people who are still, there's a steep learning curve. There's a very steep learning curve. But I do find that you talk about people behaving badly. There are some people, I've decided that there are people who were behaving badly long before the pandemic. And those are the people that, you know, are using social media as a platform for their views. There are people who are bashing others via social media. And so the ugly communication, it's interesting that I feel like that was going on before, and the people who were doing that ugly communication are doing it now. They just have another platform to demonstrate the ugly communication.
Good point. Oh, no, and now they're being amplified. So that's
right, amplified. That's a good word to be.
Exactly. Oh, no. Well, that was a really positive story, though, that you told about, you know, sales increases, and I'd be interested to hear, you know, from others who want to leave comments or something, whether it's in social or not, you know, to share with Sarita, you know, some of the positive things that are happening from this change from in-person meetings and in-person at the office to everything online and how they're interacting with their clients and people that are looking for work, you know, with the high unemployment rate, you know, and how it's impacting people around the world.
That would be interesting to hear what people have to say about that. I was going to say, I'd be curious to hear what comments people will have and put on the website regarding that.
Yeah, if they're seeing an uptick in business or an increase in sales or, you know, how that's going. I want to learn more about your background. Our show is built on talking to business women about their reputation and how they, you know, built that and became influential. And I would love our listeners to learn more about you and your career journey.
Okay, yeah. In fact, it's funny you should ask about that because I had just had my speaker bio updated. And one of the things that was missing from my bio previously was more about my personal journey. And one of the things I added was the fact that I grew up moving every 2 to 3 years from country to country as a military brat. And one of the things that taught me was that you'd have conflict with people and then you would think, oh, good, I'm rid of them. I'm moving.
Ah.
You know, I don't have to deal with the conflict. I could avoid it. Yay. And then we would get to the next place. And not only would it sometimes actually be the same person because everybody was kind of on a similar rotation schedule, but a lot of times it wasn't the same person, but it was someone very much like them. And so one of the things I learned moving a lot as a child was that you can run, but you can't hide when it comes to conflict. And that at some point we've got to figure out how to deal with it. And one of the things I heard at a workshop in recent years, I think is so true. They said, hey, you know, wherever you go, there you are. And that was kind of eye-opening, like, ooh, that's harsh. Because we have a habit sometimes of saying, well, I don't like these people at this place. Thank goodness I'm going to that place. Well, I don't like these people in this job. I'm going to go to that job. I don't like these people in that neighborhood. And we're always running from stuff when in reality – we never outrun it because it's inherent in who we are. The same things that push our buttons here will probably push our buttons over there. And so that was something that I became fascinated by. And funny thing was, I went to an American high school in Germany, graduated from a high school in a small town, Bad Kreuznach, near Frankfurt, if there's anybody out there who military brat knows those cities, near Wiesbaden, that there's a better reference. Mm-hmm. I originally was going to be a journalism major as far as journey goes. I was going to be a journalism major and a Spanish minor because I had been studying Spanish. And then, strangely, I don't share this story a lot, but I was on the newspaper staff and at one point was co-editor of the high school newspaper, and somebody had the bright idea that there should be an advice column. And somehow I ended up becoming the advice columnist, and that experience changed everything. That experience caused me to change my major from journalism to psychology, came back to the States, went to University of Maryland, a big campus, was a psychology major, ended up working as a summer orientation leader one summer and noticed people working on campus. And I thought, oh, how do they get paid to do that? Because, you know, as a psychology major, you really can't do much of anything. And they said, well, you stay and get your master's degree in counseling. And when they ask, what do you want to specialize in? You say college administration. And then you get to work on campuses. So that was actually my career for 13 years. I worked at four large state universities in student services, everything from a residence hall director to assistant dean and for a short time dean of students. And so in all of those years, one of the common denominators of all those jobs is I always had a chance to speak in front of large groups, parents, new students. I was director of new student programs for a number of years back east, and found out that I was enjoying the audience, the energy of the audience, the speaking, but also being able to help. And that's what led to me making the career change over 20 years ago. And my last hurrah was at the University of California, San Diego. And I left there and followed a then husband who was in the Marine Corps, followed him back east to do a stint as a hometown recruiter. And then at that point, when I left UCSD, became a contract trainer with Career Track, a seminar company. And then when they went bust, I went out on my own. And so now here it's been over 20 years. So, but the journey all started because flukishly they said, we need an advice columnist. You know, we've got Dear Anne, Dear Abby, and I had my little secret name. But yeah, so that was that single opportunity caused me to use the word of the week, caused me to entirely pivot in terms of what career path I would take. And so I would say that everybody probably has some story about an opportunity that came their way and changed everything in terms of their direction and their passion and their interest. And so that's the whole story. That's the big story right there.
That's fascinating. And you honed in on, identifying that you loved speaking, and that thread that ran through everything was that you were able to help others. Mm-hmm. And you're still doing that today. What type of people do you help today?
Well, you know, somebody said, what is your real secret mission? And I say in a kind of a joking way, to impart hope to the corporate downtrodden. And you'll never see that on a brochure. You'll never see that on a brochure anywhere or on my materials or on my website. But, I'm a communication speaker, but I think secretly, the counselor of me, the counselor side of me wants to impart hope, and because I feel like there's a lot of negativity and stress and angst. But I feel like the communication piece is a huge make or break, in how our angst turns out, because it's about drawing boundaries, being able to ask for what we want. My mantra is, you don't ask, you don't get. And so I feel like, a lot of how things go revolve around, are we able to ask for help when we need it? Are we able to say no nicely? Are we able to share negative feedback when someone is doing something that we don't like? So all of that, I feel like communication, speaking of a central thread, I feel like communication is key. And my what people tease me about, or maybe they know me for, is when I was growing up, my mother used to always say, if you can't say something nice, don't say anything at all.
Right.
I've always joked about that. And in fact, every single keynote I've done for the last 20 years, I start the presentation by saying, do you recognize this phrase? If you can't say something nice. And even as far away as Iceland, I've spoken, and even in the Arctic Circle, they can answer that. They can complete that phrase. If you can't say something nice, don't say anything at all. And so people used to ask me, well, Sarita, if you can't say something nice, what do you say? Because there are times when we have to say something. And that's actually what prompted the title of my now decade-old book, If You Can't Say Something Nice, What Do You Say? And, of course, the subtitle is Practical Solutions for Working Together Better. But it all went back to my mother saying, don't say it if it's not nice. And I think as women, we have heard that our entire lives. But there are so many times when we have to figure out, as I like to say, say what you mean what you say, and don't say it mean.
Perfect. And so give us some, let's go down that route a little bit. You said you teach people how to say no nicely. How do you say no nicely?
Yes, that's my favorite thing to talk about. In fact, I feel like there's, I often in my presentations, I'll share three different strategies. And but before I share the strategies, I always caution them that most of us, the mistake we make is we try to make an excuse. You know, someone says, oh, can you be on my committee? Or, oh, can you take part in this project? Or, oh, can you handle this situation? And we don't want to just say no. So we say, well, no, I've got too much to do. Or, no, I think I'm too busy this week. Or, no, we have some excuse. But that only comes back to bite us later, because they'll come back and say, oh, are you still working on that other project? Are you done yet? So I always say the three options for saying no nicely are, number one, compliment plus no, which is saying, you know what, I am really flattered that you would invite me. You know, I thank you so much for asking. Unfortunately, I'm not able to.
Mm-hmm.
So you've complimented them. And because people don't realize when you say, thank you so much, or I appreciate your asking, that's a compliment. You know, thank you so much for thinking of me. Unfortunately, I'm not available. So compliment plus no. And number two is its cousin, empathy, which means putting yourself in the other person's shoes. And so we can say, you know, I know you're really swamped and need help with the committee. Unfortunately, I'm not available. Or I know you need someone to help you with that project and stay late today. Unfortunately, I can't. And so we are feeling their pain, acknowledging their pain, and choosing to say no. And then thirdly is choose to say no. And I often find myself saying, you know what, I've chosen to pass on that, or I'm going to choose to opt out this year. And people can't argue why. People say, why? Why? You know, that's what people always ask me. Well, what if they say why? And we can say, you know, it just makes sense. It's just the best choice for me, or it's just the best route, or the doing this won't work for me. So we can choose to say, yeah, it's just not going to work, but avoid making excuses, because the excuse making always comes back to bite us.
Yeah.
So that's the three ways to say no nicely.
Oh, I love that. And it's, you've got a direct approach, and you've got ways to couch it, and that'll help us in how we, you know, speak to others.
Well, and I should also say, people often will say, well, what about bosses? You can't say no to the boss. And so I always say, if the three no's don't work, which they probably won't with the boss, you can use a guilt-free yes. And the guilt-free yes is boundary-setting words, which is if, when, and as soon as. So you can say, boss, yeah, I'd be happy to get that done for you if you can let me know where it fits in the priority of the other things that you've given me. Or saying to the customer,
more clear direction. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's right. And even to customers saying, you know, as soon as I finish this project I'm working on, I'd love to get that done for you. So if, when, and as soon as, to set the boundaries so that you don't get trampled, which often happens if we keep saying yes, 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 yes.
Yeah. And if we can get off all the Zoom calls to get the work done.
And you know, every Zoom call will generate another request. You'll get off the Zoom call and have five things you have to say yes to. I think even on the Zoom call, we might have to say, no, I appreciate you thinking of me. I'm going to pass on that.
Oh, my connection is bad. Got to go.
Yeah, I know, right? What I find myself saying in terms of boundary setting is, you know, okay, I'd be happy to get that to you. I have a couple other Zoom calls, so as soon as those are done, I will get that to you first thing tomorrow. So I think it's okay to say, hey, I'd be happy to do that, and I'll get it to you first thing tomorrow, because a lot of times our instinct is to run and do it right now when we know there's like five other things that are more important. So we are the ones who have to say, oh, you know what, I'm tied up in Zoom calls until noon tomorrow, so I'll get it to you after the Memorial Day weekend. So
that's perfect.
That's our prerogative to do that.
I think people are probably taking notes, or they can find your great advice in your book. You let me know that you're starting to write a second book. Is that going to follow up on this first one?
I love it. I have only told a handful of people, and I had almost forgotten that I had told you that, because I'm keeping it on the down low right now because I don't want any pressure. So you're in a select handful, and of course, all of our listeners now are privy to this. But that's okay. That's fine.
I let the cat out of the bag.
No worries. I actually just started writing a couple weeks ago, and I've even joined this book writing group. So we're all holding each other accountable. And And I've also made promises to an editor, the same editor that I used a dozen years ago for my first book, and she's going to hold me accountable for chapters. So I'm looking at September as the book, and the name of the book is still in flux, but it really is going to be the sequel, if that's what you call it. I don't know what you call a follow-up to a book, but the sequel to If You Can't Say Something Nice, What Do You Say? And we'll probably revolve around that, say what you mean what you say, something along those lines. So it'll be in the same vein. The big difference, though, is I'm going to be making lots of mention of how we're all communicating online and using technology.
Oh, yeah. And because I think you had talked to me previous to this interview about how technology was becoming a bigger part of your speaking even before we were all staying at home.
That's right. I had the pleasure of going to Jamaica to be the closing keynote for the HR Managers Association of Jamaica back in 2012. And they had originally invited me to speak on communication. And at the last minute, they said, can you include conversation about how we're all communicating online? So I created a custom program back in 2012, but didn't really roll it out to all my clients until probably about 2013. So for about the last 7 years, my newest topic is how to maintain high-touch relationships in high-tech times. And so the new book is going to have a lot of that in it.
Well, if our listeners would like to learn more or reach you, we do have a link to your website that's on the radio page on the website. But is there any other way you'd like people to reach out to you?
Oh, thank you for asking, Eileen. I actually would love to stay connected with the listeners. And one of the things I do every month is the What Do You Say communique, which is my quick email with some communication and stay positive tips. And again, that's just once a month. And if you are interested in being part of that list, you can actually text Sarita Talk to 22828. And when you do that, you'll get a link with a PDF with 50 phrases for all occasions. And so, again, that's Sarita Talk, SARITATALK, at the 5-digit code, 22828. Or you can go to my website and on the homepage. My website is saritamabin.com, and you've already got the link there, and that will be a place that you can sign up as well and still get the 50 phrases.
Well, thank you so much. Do you have anything else you want to share with everyone before we wrap up our conversation?
Well, I will say, speaking of technology, I am active on social media, so feel free to follow me on Twitter at Sarita Mabin or on my Facebook business page at Sarita Talk. And every Monday, I usually post a hashtag Motivation Monday quote, but since we've been on lockdown, instead of posting a quote, I've been broadcasting a one-minute video from my home. And so that's the last several weeks I've been posting a video on Monday for Motivation Monday. Won't be one this Monday, the holiday, but every other Monday I've done that for the last probably 4 or 5 weeks. So follow
that's
me and like.
Thank you. Well, you have uplifted our spirits and given us all kinds of suggestions for how to keep that going and remain hopeful, whether we're facing challenges or not. I think that it's really great advice. So thank you,
Eileen,
for being our leading lady today.
That's our show for today.
I do want to thank Sarita, and a special thanks to all our listeners in North America and around the world, as we are an international show. We'll be back again for another Women Lead Radio Show Mondays at 9 o'clock Pacific, 9 in the morning, and Fridays at 2 in the afternoon Pacific. It's been my sincere pleasure to be your host today. And remember, your reputation is our business.
Women Leading the Way is produced by Connected Women of Influence, the premier. Women Leading the Way is produced by Connected Women of Influence, the premier private membership organization where like-focused business-to-business executive and professional women connect, collaborate, and cultivate a vast network of high-level affiliations, resources, and professional relationships. For more information about Connected Women of Influence, please visit our website at connectedwomenofinfluence.com.